This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to the Human-Animal Connection Show, where we believe we can communicate with all animals. Join us as we explore the 33 principles and healing methods of the human-animal connection. As animal lovers, we know that you share our commitment to making the world a kinder place for all creatures. Together, let's embrace the transformative healing power of the human-animal connection.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Human-Animal Connection. I'm your host, Jeannie Joseph, and the executive director of the nonprofit, the Human-Animal Connection. I have a wonderful guest with me today. I have Charlene Hammond, and she is a professional speaker and author of several books, including four about her dog, whose name is Toby. And he has such a fun story because he was kind of, in her words, a destructive dog. And he became an incredible therapy dog. So becoming a therapy dog was not only therapy for him in finding his true purpose, but amazing help with other people. So Charmaine, thank you so much for being a guest on our show.
Thank you so much. I am really looking forward to today's conversation.
Oh, great. So tell us, Toby started out, he wasn't what some people would call a good dog. He had some behaviors that weren't so good. Tell us about those behaviors and then we'll hear about his transformation.
He did. He had some behaviors. That's an understatement. We adopted Toby when he's five. He was five and he's a Chesapeake Bay Retriever. And he came to us a little bit overweight and loved with food. So we had some behavioral issues to work through. We discovered fairly soon into Toby joining our family that he had a terrible fear of noises. Certain noises, like the one that the garbage truck makes when it backs up, that beeping noise. And we discovered that the first time the garbage truck came after he came to our house and we were out doing groceries or something, came back and in 20 minutes, our house was destroyed. There was stuff everywhere and we hadn't figured out what happened. It took quite a while, but yeah, he had a lot of destructive behaviors and we had to bring in Maggie, the behavioral therapist, to help us figure out what was going on with Toby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that can be quite a mystery, really confusing, really upsetting. I know you're not the only one who has a story like that. And sometimes, you know, we're lucky if we can get some good help, but it can be a little bit of a detective case because it isn't always obvious because, of course, the dog can't say, well, honey, while you were out, the garbage truck came and made all these terrible noises. So, you know, it's a process. And so, okay, so you helped understand what it was. How did you get from being destructive dog, you had some behavioral help, how did you know to think about doing therapy dog work?
Yeah, well, I hadn't even thought of it. I won't take any credit for that. It was Maggie, the behaviorist, who came in and she spent some time with us in our home on an evening. And she asked us to give dinner to Toby while she was there. So we planned around that and we gave Toby the dinner and he had some kibble. And what was really interesting, we just thought this is the way Toby eats his food. And she was fascinated by the fact that he would take a kibble and then he would walk around the whole house, check on certain things, check his toys, come back, take another mouthful or a few kibble. And so it took him forever to eat his dinner because there was this behavior going on. And she said, he's policing your house. He's making sure that everything's okay. Everything's where it should be. He knows where everything is. And I just thought that's how Toby ate his food. So that was the first sign. And then she asked questions like, what does he do when you go to do the laundry? And I said, well, he's like right there. And she said, so he seems to want to help. So she created these exercises. When I would go down to do the laundry, I would hide his toy and then it would take him forever to find it. And so she started really watching his behaviors. But one of the things that she noticed was on the first night was he was a dog who needed a job and a purpose. I honestly never knew that about dogs. And so she said, I think that he would be the perfect therapy dog. So honestly, I'm sitting there with my mouth open saying, yeah, he just broke our 12th toilet. And here he would trap himself in the bathroom and knock the toilet tank lid off and it would smash into pieces. So by this time, we had replaced, I think, about 10 or 12 toilet tank lids. So I could not imagine how a dog who you know, wrecked our house with noises, broke our toilet tank lids, how would he ever be welcomed into a public institution like a hospital? So she said, I'm just going to get him tested. She arranged to get him tested at the animal assisted therapy organizations, and he passed with flying colors except for one thing.
Okay.
Barked.
Yeah.
And so they disqualified him. Look, she went to the second organization, similar tests. We're doing all the tests. They're making noises like that would mimic a hospital noise, like they threw cookie sheets on the floor and they created sort of these groups at the doorway where there's five or six people calling his name.
Mm-hmm.
He passed and he did a little bark on that one. And the assessor said, that's perfect. We need a dog with a little bit of a voice, because a lot of the people he's going to be working with are people who are not getting out of bed, who are not engaging. And so he passed.
Wonderful.
And then we became a team.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. I love that story, especially because I had a wild feral dog that I adopted from the shelter that I was hoping was going to be a therapy dog. She failed the test, was it two or three times? I forget now. And then I went to another organization and they got it right away. She passed the first time. And she's been had a 10-year career as a therapy dog, you know. But it's interesting because, yeah. So anyway, if you're out there listening and you failed a therapy dog test, retrain, retest, go to another organization. Sometimes it isn't the right fit for the, you know.
Exactly.
But it's beautiful. I love it. And one of the people at the new organization said to me, all dogs will have something that's sort of like, you know, maybe questionable in terms of the therapy dog test, but that doesn't mean that they're not capable of really growing into the job. So I'm so glad that Toby was able to, you and Toby found the right job. And there are some dogs that really do need a job, you know, that not all dogs do, but some do. Maybe about 20% is what been my experience. So that's wonderful. So how did you get started and what work did you do?
So he got placed in a psychiatric facility in the community that we lived in at the time. And so many of the people in the unit that he was in had been there for a long time. They had been there repeated times. And for some of them, this was actually their home. Where they would thrive and do well was in the facility. And so there was all kinds of different mental health issues. There was a team that we, so our contact was with the recreational coordinator. And she was incredible to work with. And I'll never forget the first day of work. He had his little vest on, his little red therapy dog vest. And I had the knapsack with all essentials in it. And I was nervous and he was excited.
Oh,
and he just, it was almost like he knew what was happening. And I am thinking of all the things that could go wrong. What if he has an accident? What if a noise sets him off? All these things. And, you know, Maggie just said, trust him. And, you know, let him, and be clear with your communication, Charmaine, because he's going to want to follow your lead. So I didn't really know a lot what that meant, but it was exactly what happened. And so he had to go down and get his little security badge printed. He had everyone in stitches because he learned with twice after he didn't pose right that there was treats involved. So he was doing fake poses for the extra treats. And then finally, we got him to get the little security badge. And it was like the badge went on his little red vest and he was at work. Something happened. I can't explain it.
Yes, they know. They know when that vest or that badge goes on, they know.
I was blown away by this. And I, you know, and then we walked up to the unit. There's a doorbell for the unit and Terry came to meet us and Toby barked quietly, like, I'm here. Two little barks, like, I'm here. And he went into the unit and without having met people, Terry just kind of walked him around and introduced him to people. And he knew who needed him most in that moment.
Yeah.
And it happened to be a gentleman sitting on an armchair that was kind of looking past Toby and had not been doing well emotionally. And Toby just walked up and looked at him and looked at him. And then all of a sudden, the patient said, hi, Toby.
Uh-huh.
And they just sat there for about 10 minutes together, nothing, you know, not doing anything. And I just thought, wow, something really magical and beautiful is happening here that you can't, I can't even describe this to someone. But there was such an intense connection. And I thought, wow, this is what the animal-human bond is, and this is what unconditional acceptance is.
Yeah, it's so beautiful because the animals don't see, oh, you have a diagnosis, or you have a condition, or you this, or you that. They just see right to your essence. And being seen, you know, that's what we all crave. You know, it's not in this world. I mean, who goes around, wow, I see your essence. You know, you're such angel, you know, we don't get that too much. So the animal, the great therapy animals can see beyond all of the presentation, you know, whatever the injuries inside or out, and they just want to love you, you know, and that connection and that love is so healing. It's, I think every place where there's more, where there's at least one person should have a therapy dog.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's such beautiful work. Yeah.
Well, and, you know, people started to look forward to that day that he would go in, and we had his little knapsack and his little vest. And, you know, I know animals know how to tell time because Toby knows when the routines would happen. But how did he know what day of the week it was to go and get his toys and be waiting?
Huh?
I have no idea how this happened, but he, you know, for 4 years, he volunteered there every week. He inspired the patients to start learning how to make dog treats. You know, they would do they called them pup cakes and all kinds of little treats. So he kind of brought together a feeling of community. But I honestly believe as much as he gave, he got just as much back from the patient.
Oh, I love that.
And I was being transformed in the process of all of this.
I love that. You know, that's a big principle in the human-animal connection. We do therapy dog work. We work with therapy donkeys. But one of our principles is that it needs to be as good for the animals, for the person serving. We don't want animals to be tools of healing, you know, because that is really unfair and that perpetuates kind of the old master-slave thing, you know? And so we really like to make sure that we pay attention to when is enough for the animal, what do they like to do, because different animals will respond to different situations. Some like the young kids, some like the older folks, some like mental illness, some like physical illness, some like trauma. So that's our, as humans, we need to be very observant to see what the animal prefers. So
yes.
Yeah.
And it was interesting because different patients had different needs. So there was one particular patient, and this was a gentleman in the armchair that he just connected with. And this particular patient liked to be outside, didn't really want to converse a lot with the people on the unit, but with Toby, he would have these long conversations, and Toby loved to play fetch. And so the patient and Toby would just have this exchange of, he would throw the toy, Toby would get it, Toby would wait for whatever he was going to share verbally, then the toy would go out. And so that, and other patients didn't want to throw the toy. They wanted to just sit and stroke Toby. Another patient loved to play soccer and would kind of have his soccer ball in the visiting room, and he would just push it to Toby and Toby would push it back with his nose. No communication, but they were communicating. And then, you know, another patient was really experiencing intense depression and not wanting to get out of bed a lot. And so Toby would come down, and he would just kind of go in the room and wait for her to acknowledge him. And then he would just sit beside the bed. And it was so comical because he would just nudge her arm with his nose. Come on, come on, out of bed, come on. And then she'd get out. But when she was struggling, she asked the nurses for a picture of Toby. So we learned that he became this inspiration for her. He loved going there. He loved the happiness on his face when she would get out of bed. You know, he was just, come on, let's go, let's go be something. So I know that there was so much reciprocity happening between him and the patients. And, you know, it was changing me. I was a perfectionist before we got Toby. And you can't be a perfectionist with a dog like Toby. So he actually kind of rescued me in the process of it.
Yes, mutual healing, mutual rescue.
Yeah.
We're going to take a short little break. When we come back, I want to hear more of the fun stories of how Toby healed people. We'll be back in just a moment.
Real people, Real stories.
Our little dog developed this lymph problem, but the chemotherapy lasted for 6 months, started developing more lymph nodes. So I thought I'd just try carnivore. The lymph nodes started to go down. Then I took him into the vet to have him checked out, and there was no signs at all inside.
My cat had issues that developed in his eye, and 3 months later, my veterinarian said, let's go ahead and remove the eye. I heard the carnivore on advertising. So I said, you know what? I'm going to order this product. They did the procedure. They did all the tests, and they said, I don't know what you did. This product saved his eye.
I've got a Labrador. He could hardly lift herself up off the floor. The treatment was chemotherapy. That's when I said, this could be the ticket. About 3 weeks, you could tell she was very alert. She was going on 5 mile walk.
She is just like prime again.
Call 866-836-8735. That's 866-836-8735. Or visit carnivore.com. That's CARNIVORA.com.
Use promo code PETLIFE at checkout for 15% off your order at carnivora.com.
Hey friends, if you like what you're hearing and want to learn more, check out Dr. Joseph's book, The Human-Animal Connection, Deepening Relationships with Animals and Ourselves. Or visit the website, thehumananimalconnection.org, to book an online consultation. Thank you for loving animals. Now back to the show.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Human Animal Connection. I'm your host, Jeannie Joseph. I'm speaking with Charmaine Hammond, and we're hearing about the wonderful adventures of Toby, her therapy dog. So this is just so much fun. I know you also took Toby to schools.
Yeah.
Tell us about taking Toby to schools. What happened?
Well, I wrote a book about, actually, a couple of books about Toby. First, we're publishing Chicken Soup for the Soul, and which was all about volunteering from the heart. And then that inspired some books that I wrote about Toby. And so we started going into schools to read Toby's books and to bring Toby into classrooms to talk about the animal-human connection and to educate kids about what animal-assisted therapy was and to really promote kindness to animals, which was the underlying essence of his books. And so I was never, you know, I was surprised and never surprised at the same time. Toby would just be in an audience of, say, 200 little children in an elementary school, and his eyes would lock on a particular child, and he would really fixate on that child, like, you know, certainly engaged with everybody, but I would notice him watching a particular child. And when the presentation would be over, Toby would want to pull me towards where that child was. And 100% of the time, it was that child who needed to be seen, to be heard, to be recognized. And there, in one case, there was a young boy who was in the principal's office when we came in, because we walked past there, and Toby saw him in the audience. And the little boy at the end, Toby went right up to him and just wouldn't leave his side. Like, he actually wasn't following my directions very clearly that we needed to get moving, but Toby was at work, in his opinion. And the little boy's response, and I get emotional every time I say this, but he said, Toby likes me for who I am. And so we, you know, I talked to the principal later, and she said, Charmaine, this little guy is so bullied and so picked on. He just can't seem to find that place with the students where he feels accepted. And Toby just helped with that. And so that, you know, that story has stuck with me forever. And we saw the same thing play out in different presentations that we did and different visits to schools and to groups like Boys and Girls Clubs, where we were invited to bring Toby in.
That's just wonderful. I mean, I love that. I've seen that many times with my therapy dogs, that they will just pick the one child that needs something special. Yeah. And it just changes everything. You know, cool. It's literally can be life changing to be really seen and loved by a dog, to be picked out of a group, you know, for a young child, especially one who's isolated or bullied. And yeah, so that's just awesome. And I know you also, back working with in the psychiatric ward, you had a doctor ask you to come and see a particular patient. Tell us that story.
There was a patient in the hospital, and the patient was in late stages of cancer, and so he was dying, and he was talking a lot about his dog, and I believe the dog's name was Skippy, and so talking a lot about this dog. And the psychiatrist asked if we would go and visit this gentleman. We'd not ever worked with him. He was on a different unit. And I said we would, but if Toby was not comfortable with this, if he was giving me signs that he didn't want to be there, I would need to respect that. And so we went in and the gentleman said, "Skippy, you're here." And Toby went right up to him and just put his head on the edge of the bed and just sat there. Just sat there with
feelings like just sitting there.
Exactly. It was incredible. And he was just present with the gentleman. And the gentleman eventually the doctor helped move his hand towards Toby so that he could touch Toby. And we were there, I don't even know how long we were there. I kind of lost track of time, to be honest. And I didn't do anything. I just was there. And then Toby let me know when he was ready to leave and to go home. And so he just kind of nudged the gentleman and then came over to me. And that's my clue that Toby's finished his work there. And so we left. And that was just, I remembered on the first day of going in and we were told, Toby and you need to communicate and you need to pay attention to Toby's cues just as you want him. And I thought, that's what this means now. Toby's letting me know that his time is done there with that gentleman.
Yeah, it's beautiful, really beautiful. And I know you had Toby inspired a young boy to write a book. Tell us that story.
This was at a school presentation. And I love this story because there was a little guy in this bright orange t-shirt. And he had this piece of paper that he would kind of slide as I was talking and presenting to the kids and reading the story. I'd see his little hand push this piece of paper along the gym floor. And then when I would catch his eye, he would slowly pull that paper back. And I kept thinking, I want to know what's on that piece of paper. It's like he's trying to share something with me, but he's pulling it back. Toby's eyes had locked on this kid, probably because of the movement back and forth and all the other kids are sitting still. So at the end, he talked to the teacher and asked if he could come up and talk to Toby and I. And he knew in advance there was going to be an author coming to present to the school. And it was about the dog, Toby. So he knew that. And so he came up and the paper, I thought it was a paper. It was a little stack of papers that he was sliding. And he said, "Do you and Toby want to read my book? It's about an alien family and their holiday." And of course, his name happened to be the same name as one of the alien children in the book. So he read this book and he said it was because, Toby had a book about him that he was inspired to write his own book. And he had an incredible teacher. That teacher talked to the parents and said, he is really passionate about storytelling. Let's nurture this. And they even brought him into the bookstore, one of the Barnes and Nobles, to talk to the bookstore staff about how books become a book and what happens and how they get at bookstores. And so he had said to me at the event, he said, "Just so you know, one of these days, I'll be turning this into a movie and you'll be watching it on TV. And I thought, wow, that's incredible. Let me know. So yeah, I don't know if he did anything with his passion, but it was just so cool to see the eyes light up.
Yeah, it's just so wonderful how therapy dogs, gifted therapy dogs, can really sense who, they see each one as an individual. Mm-hmm. What does this person need right now? And the ability, we do this work, we've been doing it for years, both of us, it's easy to just think, oh yeah, you just sat there because that's what it looks like. But there's so much more going on. There's so much more than meets the eye. There's some energetic heart connection, some deep healing that kind of defies the medical models or whatever. But I mean, it's just such a great, beautiful thing to see. Thank you for doing this great work. Tell us the names of your books about Toby.
Well, we have On Toby's Terms, which was the first book that was inspired from the story Volunteering for the Heart, From the Heart, which was in Chicken Suits for the Soul. So that's a memoir. Really, it's a story about my life and Toby's influence on how, I thought we were rescuing him, but I think he actually rescued us. So that's for teenagers and adults. And then that book and doing all these presentations to schools about literacy and being an author, and one of the kids in the audience said, "How come you don't have a kid's book? Because here I am with a big, big memoir book. How come you don't have a kid's book?" That's a great question. So I wrote the first story, Toby, the Pet Therapy Dog and His Hospital Friends. And it was, we took some of the stories, the work Toby did was with adults. So we took those and put what that would look like if these adults were kids. And so that book. And then there was another book that followed that called Toby the Pet Therapy Dog Says Be a Buddy, Not a Bully. And of course, that was all about friendship, kindness, and bully prevention. And the third one that's just coming out is called Toby the Pet Therapy Dog and His Forever Family. And it's kind of taking everything right back to the beginning about how he became our forever dog.
Wonderful. Well, beautiful story, beautiful work. Charmaine, how can people get a hold of you if they want to connect more? I know you you do some coaching and some teaching for people. How can people find you?
Best place to find me is Charmaine at charmainehammond.com, our website. And I'm all over social media, and it's me who answers, so not one of our team. So I love connecting with people however they find us, and website or social media is the best place.
Well, thank you so much for being with us, Charmaine Hammond.
Thank you.
And so glad you've been with us here at the Human Animal Connection. We'll see you on the next episode. Bye for now.
Thank you for tuning into the Human Animal Connection show. Please visit our website, thehumananimalconnection.org. There you can sign up for our free email newsletter, book a consultation, or check out our blogs and resources. Our best-selling book, The Human Animal Connection, is available on Amazon. And your donation of any amount keeps our nonprofit organization providing life-changing services.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.